Great. We are all set up and ready to go. This chapter that we're working on now is what definitely one of my favorites, and I think it probably is Nancy's favorite. She has just commented endlessly on about, and I think we each will find our favorite as we go through this. And it's probably depending upon the particular type of nourishment we are needing at the moment we discover it, at the moment we feel Yeshua speaking to us, instructing us, and guiding us through it. Or perhaps the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit is there, blessing us and calling us forth into what we need to address next or contemplate next or perhaps what we're going to be facing. I really do think that this chapter is an extraordinarily important one for what's going on in our world, because there are a lot of issues coming up, a lot of conflicts that we're being called to accept, reject, or resolve. But there's none of it that is worth losing our inner peace over. Yes, we do have to deal with the world. Yes, we do have to make decisions about what we support, what we will take into our life, work with, identify with, or add or subtract from our values. That's just part of the challenge of living. But the only peace that really matters is your inner peace. This chapter addresses peace in both places, and it shows how different the peace of inner awareness is from the peace that we strive for in the world, which includes, not exclusively, but it does include the requirement to negotiate with others so that we can compare and unite our separate but commonly directed pathways toward peace. It's unnatural and it's destructive to continue ways of conflict for too long. And what I mean by too long is that if there is a conflict, I think we need to find out what it is, of course. I think it behooves us to understand how something in the world could benefit us, but rejected by someone else, over which a conflict could develop. Because how can you solve any problem if you don't know what it is? So yes, I think it's important that it be brought up, but I think it also needs to be brought up coherent and directed by truth. There is no subject that is more destructively altered by spinning away from truth than peace is. Peace and truth are virtually twins, two sides of the same coin. Yeshua said, and we'll take this up in greater depth in another chapter, but he said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I wondered so many years, I mean, my mother read that to me as a child, and she was admonishing me for getting so upset about something, being disagreeable, throwing a tantrum, not wanting to accept what was going on. And she called my attention to the fact that instead of just disagreeing with something you are not at peace with, examine it. Find out why you're not at peace with it. Find out what's wrong. Look it over. And decide what would work for you. And what she was basically teaching me is that when we have the courage to really look at and examine the things we disagree with, we're opening the door to discovery. And in that discovery, we can find resolution. That resolution comes from understanding. Most of the things that we are driven to conflict with actually have their roots in misunderstanding. Now, it might have been a cultivated misunderstanding by having different viewpoints, different orientations, different realities, and perhaps even a different heritage. But there are just misunderstandings that come about from the fact that we don't examine anything. And once we examine it, we find, well, I wouldn't do it that way, but now that I understand what the problem is, it's okay. You know, I can live with this. How many times have you resolved a conflict by misunderstanding, of misunderstanding, by examining it and developing more understanding? As we have more understanding, we have more tolerance. We can come to realize, well, it isn't something I would want in my life, but I understand why it's out there and why other people like it. So, what we're going to look at today as an extension of peace that we have studied before, and the beautiful reading Nancy did for us about his words, we're going to review some of it. We're going to look deeper into the book and find expanded orientations to this state of peace he's talking about, that may have more depth, more possibilities for resolving than just the resolution of conflict. For example, in the section of correlations, the very first one is from the book of Job. The man who had more trouble with the world than anyone I've ever heard tell of, more difficult resolving his own discomfort, his own objection, his own disturbance. And God said, hold your peace. And I will teach you wisdom. In other words, God realized that Job was actually treating peace as a somewhat singular idea, maybe even naively singular, like don't complain, don't object, calm yourself down, that sort of thing. Things you might apply to a child that was completely overwrought with protest. And God said, I will teach you wisdom. Now, just in those works, we begin to see that if peace and wisdom are correlated, it's a much deeper subject than we usually think about. And we go on to the second correlation, which is from the book of Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So here, we see that peace is not just a conflict between nations or subjective differences, violations of our ways of life. It's something much deeper than that, much broader. Because those who are peacemakers are called the children of God. And Yeshua's benediction, the great benediction he leaves in the book of John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. That seems to suggest that the lack of peace can sometimes come from anticipation. Your heart be troubled, meaning you weren't. Neither let it be afraid, means you're backing off from something that scares you. So the lack of peace doesn't have to be present until all of a sudden we're anticipating that it might be gone. And our news media is very good about creating that lack of peace. Oh, there's trouble here, there's trouble there. You better listen to this, you better read that story, and so forth and so on. And we go,
don't have a troubled heart, he says.
And don't be afraid.
For in those things, we lose our peace. And in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us,
make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Through this message, Paul is basically saying, unity is the essence of peace. Those of you who have had the honor and privilege of being a parent, I'm sure you know very well that the crying baby that you run to most of the time cannot be handled by examining external things going wrong. You may reach to see if a diaper's out of place or if the baby's rolled over and can't get back, if something is pressing on a finger or toe, You do the whole body examination. You talk to them. Of course, they're not verbal. They're pre-verbal, so they're not going to tell you exactly what's wrong. They don't know. More than likely, they woke up alone and felt a little scared or worried about where you were. And what actually handles this moment is just picking up the child, holding it close to your heart, rocking your body a little bit, putting your hand on its head, and holding it close, and whispering its name. Mommy's here. Mommy's here. Everything's fine. And everything becomes fine. You didn't really handle anything. What you did is you reestablished unity. And you allowed the little baby to experience that unity and the peace that goes with it. How many times have you lost your peace because you thought you hurt someone's feelings or you said something inappropriate that might have disturbed someone? You are actually using empathy to feed into a disturbance. Well, that's not the best use of empathy. The best use of empathy is to find out what can unify you with another human. Or it may not be a human. It might just be a very, very disturbed pet or animal. And you've learned all you have to do is pick it up. Give it a little morsel of food, a treat, and then pick it up. Talk to it. Be there. And then put it in your lap. Everything is fine. Unity is really the soul of our peace. Now, we can see that there are times when unity is deliberately broken in order to instigate or accelerate change. In fact, Yeshua said to the apostles on one occasion, I did not come to bring peace to the world. He came to break his hold and his bond over those who needed to be free to seek God. And he turned to the apostles and said, I came to bring peace to your heart. So he was talking about his unity with them in the heart. He did not come to bring peace in the world. In other words, he did not come to be a political negotiator, someone to walk abroad in all the countries or address the emperor in Rome and bring about political peace and harmony. He didn't think it mattered if he met with all the leaders of all the different factions of Israel, the Jewish community, which was actually quite well spread at that time. He didn't think that was at all important, because that's not what he came for. In fact, he decided to use the upset to use the conflict and the broken unity in order to create a greater peace in the soul. So clearly we see that the peace Yeshua came to create for us, with us, and for the coming of life among us is a greater definition of peace than simply taking down the flags and elevating one common flag. In other words, let's just go for one government globally. It would never have sanctioned that because it won't work. We humans don't have enough wisdom to carry that out. Eventually, there will be one world of peace, which is heaven on earth. And we're moving toward that, but we're not quite ready for it yet. First of all, we've got to find that state of heaven within ourselves. We've got to find the peace within that allows us to simply retreat from the world and let it be what it is, so that we can be who we are. Yeshua's first words to me, which shocked me because I didn't expect this, what I was going through, to ever be a conversation or to hear his voice. But he just said, Glenda, you are love. That was the most important thing he wanted me to know. But he wasn't, and this is important, he wasn't elevating me above others who were perhaps not love. He wasn't saying, you're the only one who is love. What he was indicating to me is that love is not something I give or do or seek or receive. It's who I am. And then he taught me through the remainder of that time together how to just be present and be love, not needing to change another thing, just to be there. He reminded me that God, our Father, who created everything, simply was there. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He breathed everything into existence, which means that his existence was the source of it all. At the core of everything, our breathing, our existence, is that which we create. He could feel my love. Obviously, I was in a state of amazement, adoration, and exaltation just looking at him. But he wanted me to know that all those things I felt came from my being. And the source of those emotions, because I might not always be feeling myself in his presence. He wanted me to know what the source was at that moment. His presence transformed me from something I thought I should do or act, create or give, or something extending externally for myself, such as a thought, an expression. He wanted me to understand that everything I was feeling was innate to my being. And that's what peace feels like. When what your life is innate to your being, you're at peace. I would risk saying this proposition, that one of your greatest absences of peace is wondering, what should I be doing in this life? Where should I be going? Who should I be with? What should I be assisting? And it's always something external to yourself. God gave you talents. He gave you fundamental abilities. Now, when I say talent, I'm not suggesting that you have the innate ability to play a piano or to compute mathematical equations or understand the anatomy of plant life and be a gardener or be a teacher, a doctor, a healer, whatever. It won't be, what God gave you will not be something you have to go to college to get a degree in and then practice and get feedback from others you serve or work for in order to confirm that, yes, I do have that ability. You do have great ability. And when it's a God-given ability, it has transformative powers. Some of you may have the ability to listen and hear more than is being said. This is an incredibly powerful ability. In any area of life, you might be seeking to explore or function in. Let's just say in business. When you hear, when you listen and really truly hear and understand more than you're reading about, more than others are telling you, you know where to take your business to the next step and get ahead of the curve. This is what all the great businessmen and women have done. They listened. I mean, they really listened. This is what the great physicians will do. They'll request and give you time to tell them all your symptoms. And yes, they'll listen to that, write them down so others, it can be put on your record. But they're listening far deeper than that. And by the time they're through listening, they may shock you with their conclusion or their diagnosis, because they heard deeper than anything you said. A great teacher does the same thing. So, and that's just an example, like if your gift is listening. And when I say gift, I'm talking about God's gift. I'm not talking about something you get because you go to a Tony Robbins seminar. And my goodness, he has been given gifts. But they may not be your gifts. Your gifts may be different. And what you get from his seminar may be something you learn, you apply to life, and then you can really, really be ready to accept and harvest your gifts, which will be greatly different from his. In the parable of the talents, let's get back to it. I keep trying to get back to that. There's always something more to say. All right, so we get back to the talents. Well, these different receivers, he gave talents to everybody. But everybody viewed the talents differently. Some viewed it as a treasure that needed to be buried or hidden to keep anyone else from stealing it. There's probably some among you that really, really do have. You've already discovered a powerful talent, but you're not sharing it because you're afraid somebody will rain on your parade and tell you, oh, that's nothing. Well, my friends, it probably would be nothing to them. It doesn't mean it's nothing to you. He created us all equal in relation to his love of us and our connection in unity with him. But he didn't create us all the same. He made each one of us unique. Okay. I won't take your time going through each one of the talents, but if you want to see how Yeshua treated that, just search for it in your Bible dictionary. It'll bring you to chapter and verse. It's a very famous parable. And the other end of that is the one I want to talk about. When he came back to examine what people had done with their talents. Like I said, one of them just hid them away. But there was this man that didn't even think about his talents. He just did what he did best. And he multiplied it and multiplied it. And Yeshua said, and I will give you more. What God is looking for is you being in harmony with who you really are. Sometimes it takes courage because who you are may require you stepping out in a public arena. It might require you stepping on stage, but it also may require humility in the sense of working behind the scenes. As someone who serves any situation and was there developing it into perfection. And in taking it to perfection, you are given more. No matter what your role is, it will be acknowledged. It will be enhanced. It will be supported, developed, and multiplied. You will not be left unknown. Even if your gift is to troubleshoot issues and problems or even talents that other people have and have been overlooked, it's like being the Sherlock Holmes of hidden possibilities. And I know some of you have that gift because I've known you, I've seen you, and Yeshua knows that you need to have great cover. So that in searching out these possibilities, you don't scare the rabbits. You know, some things are hidden because they're insecure. They're not ready to be seen. And they don't know who to show up to or where they would be useful. Lots of great values in the world are just plain shy. And it takes a genius to locate them. places in on the planet, in many cases, are hidden for good reason. And it takes someone who has the greatest empathy, intuition, and willingness to remain hidden and anonymous to travel into those places and find those things that need to be discovered. Very few people are doing that, because in the world today, there's high praise for those who can stand out and receive glory immediately. Well, you know what? Most of us really don't want glory. I want to tell you, actually, it's more common than not. Most of us want to lead a shy and not famous life, but we want to be valued and we want to be important. You want to have a reason for why you lived. Well, get busy. Just doing what you do best. Whatever you do best is likely to be the talent God gave you. And that will be your surest route, my friends, to finding inner peace. Because I know from years of counseling, years of searching, that most of your trouble comes from worry about how will I solve something? Am I really doing my thing on earth? Am I with what I should be with? Am I working with what I should be working? You don't know who you are. So do what you do best and you will discover exactly who you are, because you were created in the image of God. I hope that you will take that to your heart, because that's my greatest addition from years of talking to Yeshua and years of counseling others who worry about this. I want to, it's a little hard, just to go back, it's a little hard to go in depth on the applications and the key, because it's written as a prose article that develops with a lot of different layers of meaning. And you should reach it. You should read the keys. The key. Every chapter has a key. It's usually somewhere between 2 and 5 pages long. And I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs from it. But we're not going to go in depth in it. And then we're going to close with the prayer that he gave us for this chapter. Here's one of the paragraphs that I really like, and it goes along with the things I've been saying. Peace is a perspective, a place of being that each soul can choose to hold and unfold into the world. It is not something you find or establish outside yourself first and then adapt to fit. Much energy and futile effort has been spent in looking for peace that way. Yeshua taught me that there is no better way to find your true self than to earnestly seek ways and nature of your own peace. And that's what I've been speaking on today. For there is one certainty: you cannot find the peace of another soul. I think I should read that again. For there is one certainty: you cannot find the peace of another soul. It might also be fruitful to consider that even chaos has a spiritual function of challenging us to seek peace first.
within ourselves. That's what chaos forces us to do. We can't find it in the world.
And basically, that was the great message he gave to his apostles. I'm going to bring chaos into the world, and you're not going to be able to find peace there.
But I give you peace in your heart. Go look for it there.
That's where he wanted us to find it. Reading just a little further. True civilization comes from peace, not from order. And there is a difference. In a post-industrial world, with all the advantages of order, we often assume that tending to order will automatically result in creating civilizations. Many believe Mahatma Gandhi to have been the greatest proponent of peace in the 20th century. He knew the secret of peace and also knew that most others did not. When he was asked about Western civilization, he said, "I think it would be a good idea." In other words, if you found it. There is a great paradox, and love is the only answer. Even through love, the secret is still concealed if you only view love solely as an action in the 1% of physical existence. Only when you can see love as the great being and beingness of the 99% of existence does the answer begin to emerge. You are love.
Okay, my friends, we are going to just be quiet. Let yourself surrender into the peace of this moment. It doesn't have to be about anything other than you. You're here. You came. You listened. And so what? Nothing matters except you. Nothing will be done except that it comes from the heart of your being. Nothing external to yourself is really important. That's the first step to peace. And everything you are has some importance for your life. Or it wouldn't exist. Let your peace be your prayer. And I'm going to read to you the prayer which Yeshua gave me. O Holy One, you are my calm within the storm. You are my refuge from all harm. You are my candle in the dark. You are my heart's eternal spark. You are the door that's open wide. You are the guest who waits inside. You are the stranger at my door. You are the calling of the poor. You are my hope through all dismay. You are the light, the truth, and the way. May your peace prevail on earth. Amen. Amen and amen. Nancy, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's go into the Q&A mode, and we'll see who wants to talk.
Absolutely. I believe our first caller is Issue Stormy.
Yes, all day today, and happy day tomorrow.
Welcome.
Well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is that the news is that to heal me because of my heart problems, they have to kill me. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to stop my heart. And while I'm under anesthesia, it's a 30-minute process, defibrillation, and they're going to restart my heart and get all the electrical magnetic fields in the upper left-hand side that is causing blood to pull out, which is a serious cause for a major stroke. And I'll have this done Wednesday, and I'm going to feel so much better. And, of course, Phil Walthall says, well, the bad news is you're coming back. Phil keeps with me. But it's just going to be out, and I won't know what's gone on. I met the most beautiful Islamic man who just got here a week ago, who explains everything after this procedure. He asked me to pray for his four-year-old daughter that has medical problems. We had a very deep spiritual connection. And it was just
wonderful.
Moments. And so to heal me, they got to kill me. So,
okay. Well, Stormy, tell me, when is that going to happen so that we can
Wednesday,
have a prayer circle around you?
Yeah, what? Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Okay, Central Time.
Yeah, here in Sulphur Springs, East Texas.
Yep. Okay, I got it. We'll be there. We'll be with you, Stormy.
Oh, yeah, David Gibson was going to ask for some angels, but he says, Stormy, you already got so many angels around you, you don't need no more of mine.
Okay. Well, that's true. But you know, you can never have too many angels, really.
Everybody.
Don't turn down a gift. Don't turn down a gift. All right. Well, Stormy, we love you.
It's a real blessing.
And we want you with us. Yeah. And we know you will be with us forever, but we kind of like to hear your voice, too.
Yeah, well, I've been out and about for a while. So.
Okay. Well, we knew you were attending to something important or you would have been here. So we were still praying for you.
Yeah. As usual, next.
Thank you, Stormy. Okay. Is this Caroline?
Oh, hello, this is Stephen.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I just calling to request a blessing for my father-in-law, Matthias, who passed away on Friday.
And,
yeah, so just message. Yeah, to meet his loved ones on the other side and just bless his soul. And that's really all.
Well, and for your wife also, I know she must be grieving.
Oh yeah, no, she and my mother-in-law too. She's grieving a lot too. So, So a blessing for Samantha, my wife, and my mother-in-law Sandra. If you could add them, that'd be great. And thank you again so much for all the wisdom and love. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for being all that you are.
Oh, thank you.
Be with God.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Stephen, and for asking. Our final caller right now, let's more come on the board. Ken, your line is open.
Hey, Glenda. Hey, Nancy. It's as always, it's great to be here and hear your voice. And I really appreciate your message today on talents and God-given talents, because I feel like I'm right at the end of resolving a kind of a really horrible situation that I've had within my body and my brain and my whole being for the last 60 years. So I got it when I was a kid and 6 years old, and I've been dealing with this thing till today. And it's like I've been two people, and been lots of doctors, and nobody knows, be able to really diagnose it or do anything about it. So I've kind of been, for the last 15 years, I've been just trying to, you know, diagnose and discover and kind of work my way through trial and error, finding little breadcrumbs to get myself to the end where I can think clearly and actually rediscover who I am at 66 years old. And so, you know, when you talk about talents, the whole prospect of me kind of figure out like who I am and what I have is absolutely terrifying, because I don't know where to start. You know, I can kind of take everything day by day like I have for the last 15 or so years, but I feel like there needs to be more. And I don't know where to go. And, you know, I can wing it like I always do, and I'm reasonably smart, so I can put on a good show. But that's not the purpose. You know, the purpose is to do something that, where you put value into the world, that matters. And I just have no clue. So I need a blessing for myself, and I have no idea where to start or how to do anything about this stuff. And I appreciate what you've been saying so much. So thank you.
Well, okay.
I will be happy to speak with you at some time. Let's set up a time and we'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I appreciate that. I will do. I will send you a message.
This is a huge problem when it's not resolved, and it's one of the easiest ones to resolve. We'll get you on the road.
Yeah. Thank you for your vulnerability and sharing, Ken, because, you know, everyone has some aspect of that, and everyone shares some part of that. And so for you to put it into words and let your heart be expressed, you know, you just brought us all in, and you just pulled us together. So Glenda's right. There's an answer for you, and, you're going to find it.
Thank you.
You will.
Thank you. I will do that.
Well, we love you.
I love you all.
We sure do.
Well, Glenda, our board is clear, and we are right at the 4 o'clock mark.
Sure. Well, how perfect is that?
It literally just turned over to 4 o'clock.
I mean, that's really, it just doesn't get more perfect than that. So what we're going to do is we're just going to tune ourselves up to get ready for our blessing. I'm going to speak a few words, and then the rest is all up to you. And what you do will come from the inside out. Every thought will emerge from the inside out. You're no longer managing the world out there. You're back to just being you. For all that you are, for you are God's treasure in the world. You are not a product of the world. You are you. And this time is for you. for just a moment, I want you to just accept yourself as one who's coming to the altar. To present yourself for blessing. You're not coming to the altar to receive blessings that are wrapped in a package and handed to you to unwrap. You're coming to the altar to allow the one who gave you and will give and always gives the blessings to simply activate a blessing that you already have and are. And we, and by we I mean the blessing givers and I, are going to assist in activating those blessings. They all come from God. And they have been complemented by your life on earth. For God created the earth and all that is in it. And all that your, that was used to create your person, your body, your way of life, and your gifts of life. So those gifts will be activated, and your person will be activated. In that activation, any and everything that you want to be sorted out or healed can be, because you're in a greater state of receiving. You're in a greater state of being who you are, able to receive. And we simply help you get into that place. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with a little bit of physical activity. And you can follow my suggestions and directions, or you can do more than that. You could do your own movements if you have some training practices you've developed or breathing practices you've developed. The most important thing is we're going to take about 5 to 10 minutes and just get active, because we have this lovely body, beautiful creation of God that is active in its holy nature. It's active that it may give you a place in which to live and energy to conduct your business on earth. So let's just start, and I'll give you a starting point. Those of you who are sitting down, let's stand up if you can. If you can't, then just stay seated, and you can do the, pretty much the same thing, just adapt it to a seated position. We're going to work on your leg, your feet and your legs first. So you're going to be standing, and if you're not really fully stable, I want you to be near something you could either hold on to or catch yourself on, like the back of a sofa or beside a kitchen counter or a kitchen bar or table, something like that. Just be secure. And I want you to put one foot in front of the other and feel the stretch of doing that. That's all, just one foot in front of the other. And move your foot up and feel the stretch on your back of the leg. Then move your foot to a point and feel the stretch on the front of your leg. Bring it back into same position beside your other leg. And do the same thing with your other leg. Just bring it forward as much as you can and move your foot up forward so that you stretch the back of your leg. And then you point it down so that you stretch the front of your leg. Okay. And now put it on put it on the floor, and move it back into place. It's very simple. But that one move actually activated your entire body, all the way to the top of your head. But we're going to expand on it just a little bit, because now we're going to stand with our feet together, not close together, enough apart that you've got a good balance, which could be maybe a foot apart or 2 feet, depending on how you prefer to stand. Okay, and then you're going to move your torso right, slowly, and then left, slowly. That's going to bring your spine into more activity. Okay, and then we're going to do it again. This time, when you go right, you're going to lean a little bit into it. If you need to bend your knee a little bit, then do that. Just bend a little bit onto the right side. Okay, back up, and then you're going to go to the left and bend into it just a little bit. And then back up. All right. Now, we want you to lean back, not enough to lose any balance, just enough to stretch your tummy a little bit, okay, and to cause your back to contract a little bit. So it's in a nice contracting state, and hold that just a little. And now I want you to reach your arms forward. So your back is contracting back, and your arms are reaching forward. That's going to really engage your shoulders. And it's important at this point that we engage our shoulders, because they're a huge container, bucket of stress. A lot of our stress goes to our upper anatomy, between our shoulders, at the base of our neck. Okay, and then we're going to turn our neck again. One more time to the right, and then we're going to turn it to the left, all right? And then we're going to fold our chin down onto the top of our chest, and then we're going to lift our head and stretch our neck back so that we feel that stretch all the way to the top of our head. And we move just into a normal position, except our arms are going to be folded at the elbow and then moved around to the sternum so that your fist, you make a little fist, and then one fist meets the other at the sternum. So you've got elbows folded, fist on the sternum, and you're going to move those folded elbows up and down, like wings of a baby bird. That's going to get your rib cage stretched. It's going to cause your lungs to expand and the diaphragm to move up and down. Okay. And now we're going to beat on the sternum with our little folded fist. Don't hurt yourself. Just beat gently, because you're going to wake up the lymphatic system that's right there. And that's one of the big lymphatic headquarters of your body. It'll wake you up. Actually, you do that for a minute. Just gentle beating, tapping, you know, whatever level of pressure you can tolerate. This is what gorillas do to get their whole body in action before they go and confront an adversary or anything challenging their territory or their food or their safety or sanctuary. They beat on their sternum. Why? Because it wakes up the whole lymphatic system. Your lymphatic system is your other flow of life. Your blood flow is the main one that's pumped by your heart, but your lymphatic system has no motor drive. It entirely relies upon movement. No. Your lymphatic system has its own really important work. And probably the most important work it has is to convey white blood cells to your body to lower inflammation. Every day, all day, your body is encountering little challenges, sometimes just micro challenges, a little bit of indigestion or a little bit of tiredness that shouldn't have happened. And that results in little bits and pieces of inflammation. Sometimes in one location, if you've overstressed a particular muscle group, but sometimes whole body inflammation. And those white blood cells can reduce inflammation throughout your body. They do a special work that your blood cannot do. And it's really important every day that you get this flowing. You can actually heal lots of problems before they accelerate into a full-blown health problem, like into a full-blown cold or flu. Let's say you get up and you just, in the morning, and you just feel a little bit off. You don't know what's wrong, but you don't have the energy you thought you should have. You don't have that sparkle in your eye. You look in the mirror and you see little circles under your eye. You say, wow, I mean, I went to bed early last night. What in the world is wrong? Do what I'm telling you right now. Get onto it. Tap or beat on your thymus. Put your arms into that little bird wing position. Lift them. Lift them just like you're about to flap off the earth, because it actually opens your lungs so that you can do deeper breathing. With just ordinary breathing, you don't have to go into some kind of deep breathing method or practice. Just ordinary breathing will be fuller and deeper if you stretch your diaphragm and the muscles that protect it on each side of your rib cage. I did that, and after breaking 4 ribs recently, and my healing accelerated way beyond what the nurses had predicted that it would. And I told them what I was doing. They said, well, yeah, that will always work. Good for you that you knew to do it. And I said, well, I learned it from a lot from other people smarter than I am. And so I pass it on to you as something for you to do. And do it well. I almost got disconnected because I was flapping my arm in the wrong direction. Oh, well, things like that do happen. But we are connected, thank goodness. And we always will be. So now from this, I want you to squint your eyes and then squint your face. Like, squeeze it just like you had eaten a lemon and go, come on, just squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Now open your eyes. Open your mouth like you're going to yawn and tilt your head back and forth gently, very gently and smoothly. We don't want to activate dizziness in any way. And then forward and backward. We want to open all the lymphatic system in your head, moving along the surface of your skull. It's very important to make your whole brain available to the blessing. Your brain has some very, very important intuitive centers that can be awakened and fed information during your blessing. One of them is the amygdala at the back of your neck. Another is the hypothalamus that it sits right next to. And then the pineal gland that is so, so deeply covered and protected that if you don't put some activity into it, it may just stay asleep. But you can't get into it. It's in the center of your brain, and you can't get into it with any kind of normal physical action. But activating your lymphatic system inside your head and brain can really help do that. So that's why I brought everything up to basically the base of your skull. Then I had you do the squinting and the squeezing of your face and then squeezing of your shoulders up. We're just going to push the lymphatic fluid into your brain and feed it. And feed it. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. And so I'm not going to say what I'm about to say as an emphatic encouragement for you to believe. But it is a suggestion. We're living in a world where we're encouraged to believe that everything that is done for us is done mechanically, or it's done digitally. It's done by some instrument of worldly creation that assists us in connecting, finding information, or having an empathic connection with others or intuitive connection with nature. And the fact is, my friends, nothing has changed about you anatomically. In the last 10,000 years, you are the same physiologically as your ancient ancestors. And yet they knew when they walked up to a fruit, they could tell by touching it if it should or should not be eaten, if it was or was not safe. And if it felt safe to that level of exploration, they would take a small bite out of it, just a taste on their tongue, and evaluate what happened. And they could tell. They could confirm whatever the original intention was. And I'm sure sometimes they were wrong, but more times than not, they were right, because we're still alive on the planet. They used their intuition for everything. They didn't have AI. They didn't have a primitive computer. They didn't have anything in the external world to assist them. They traveled through the internal equipment that God has given them. There are great scientists. One of them, Albert Einstein, described how little of our God-given mental facility we were actually using. He once said, if everything that is in your brain could be encoded and filled with knowledge, there is not a science big enough to understand it or explain it. We are moving into an age where we will be told our understanding and our intuition is nothing compared to what a computer can provide us. And that is simply not true. It can provide us with external facts we have no access to. Of course. Of course it can and will do that. That doesn't mean it can replace you. You are the piece of your existence. You are who you are. And the wealth of your being is encoded into you. That is the peace I wish for you during this blessing. That you may know it and be filled with it. And it becomes the blessing of your daily life. Okay, let us now move into our blessing with a very deep breath. Come on, take it in through your nose as fully as you can. Expand your lungs. Feel your sinus cavities. Hold it. Now breathe it out. Do it again. Fill every cavity with the air and the breath of life. Fill it, fill it, fill it. Hold it. Now breathe it out. Okay. Sit down. Feet on the ground. And relax. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. And then as we offer the blessing to you, you pray your prayer. The time for you to be quiet and not say anything is when you're lying down. That will come next. Right now, just continue your breathing. I will pray for you. Beloved Lord of life, Son of God, the one who walked on the earth and yet was filled with the grace and the power of the one who created it. We thank you from the depths of our existence. To the fullness of our potential, for all that has been given into our life, that we may discover and be who we are. We thank you for being with us. For coming here and correcting our misunderstanding, thinking we were separate from our God, our Father, our Creator. And restoring to our understanding that we are a small piece of our Father, our Creator. The Lord of creation. Help us to be humble enough to accept that word, that truth, and empowered enough to be bold and assert ourselves in the world as being enough. You are enough. We are enough. There is enough to all of us. For we are extensions of the one who created it all, for which there is nothing beyond. We thank you not only for bringing this new and blessed reality, but fulfilling it with your life and remaining with us until on our pathway, we discover some part of that and make it the truth that we stand on. We pray that you be now with us to accept the blessing that is being awakened and delivered and promised and has always been outside of time and space. We ask that we may be a bright light and a shining mirror to others, that they may discover also who they are, and that they are enough to be who they are, that they too may be a bright and shining light upon the earth. We ask that you lead and teach the children through parents who are enlightened, grandparents and friends and teachers, that the world coming forth may begin to show its face as the evidence of heaven on earth coming into place. We ask forgiveness for ourselves and others who have strayed from the light and knew not what we did, because our vision has been placed in the darkness. We pray that we be received back home with shouts of celebration and glory for our homecoming. Now, in this moment, we ask that those who are grieving be made at peace. Those who are sick, receive the power of healing. Those who are searching may receive the certainty of knowing. And those who are lost be found. We ask these things for each of us, for our community, and for the whole community of this beautiful earth and all of humankind, that we may greet one another as brothers and sisters. Amen and amen. Now and forever. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand with me? And each of you receiving, open your heart, relax, and begin your prayer that you may make it custom for you. Let us begin.
Amen. 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 Your blessing has been given. Receive and be blessed. And now I want you to go and lie down. Be with yourself and God. Just be who you are. Nothing else. Be enveloped in the blessing of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, the love of Yeshua. And receive. This is not a time to think. This is a time to be silent. Amen.